Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Calls for gun reform are getting louder following the deadly school shooting in Nashville, but Republicans aren't budging.
I'm Stephen Portnoy at the White House, where Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says a Republican opposition to further gun controls.
It's unacceptable that Republicans are saying that there's nothing that we can do.
The president urges a return to the ban on semi-automatic rifles that was in place for 10 years, from 1994. To 2004. GOP lawmakers counter by arguing there are now more than 20 million such weapons in the hands of law-abiding citizens, too many in circulation to ban. Jean-Pierre offers this response.
They are weapons of war and they should not be on the streets.
The news comes as the city of Nashville hosts a vigil for victims tonight. It starts in about half an hour. First Lady Jill Biden will be there. A scary health update on Pope Francis. The Vatican confirms he'll be in the hospital for a few days, getting treated for a respiratory infection. CBS's Seth Doan.
He has, of course, received well wishes and prayers from people around the world, for which the director of the Police Press Office said he was grateful.
The 86-year-old's having trouble breathing, but the Vatican says it's not COVID. He scrapped audiences till Sunday. Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman's out of the hospital. He was at Walter Reed Medical Center for more than a month, getting treatment for severe depression. He's expected to get back to work in mid-April. Seven California Highway Patrol officers now face manslaughter charges over the death of a man who died in custody after getting arrested in a traffic stop in 2020.
Willingly.
Get a chair.
The man screamed, "I can't breathe," while multiple officers restrained him. They were trying to take a blood sample. Opioid overdose antidote Narcan will be available without a prescription soon.
Officials hope the move will broaden access to this key overdose reversal drug, also known as naloxone, allowing it to be sold everywhere from big box stores to vending machines.
That's CBS's Alexander Tin. Still no word on how much it'll cost, but experts say access is a priority. More than 110,000 people died from opioid overdoses last year. On Capitol Hill, senators grilled former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz about alleged union busting efforts.
Have you ever threatened, coerced, or intimidated a worker for supporting a union?
I've had conversations that could have been interpreted in a different way than I intended. That's up to the person who received the information that I spoke to him about.
Starbucks formed its first union in Buffalo back in 2021. Since then, the National Labor Board says it's received dozens of complaints about the company. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin-based interest groups are making their endorsements in the race for state Supreme Court.
The Dairy Business Association, a dairy lobby group, and NFIB Wisconsin PAC endorsed former Justice Daniel Kelly. The small business advocacy organization said Kelly will provide a predictable legal climate for small businesses. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Meanwhile, 300 Wisconsin doctors have signed a letter supporting Janet Protasiewicz. When it comes to fundraising, Protasiewicz has raised more than five times as much money as Kelly. She raised almost $12.5 million in the final campaign finance reporting period. Kelly raised a little more than $2 million at the same time. In sports, Wisconsin's basketball season is over after last night's loss in the NIT semifinals. Tonight, the Bucks are at Indiana. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Kroot.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut any cut deeper.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, welcome to Macho Hordos Studios here in the Twin Cities. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. I'm here with Ogama, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we got an author on today, Kathy Coates, author of the soon-to-be-released To Banish Forever, a secret society, the Ho-Chunk, and Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota. Very interesting. We had her on earlier, and they're ready. Minnesota Historical Society is ready to drop the book. So really excited to have her on and talk about history, which I love the most. Well, I love history, and I love baseball, and baseball season's opening up tomorrow, so I'm super stoked and excited. We also, Ogama, as you know, we have a pop-up kiosk at the Twins Stadium, Target Field, for 80 games, and we'll be have Native Roots Trading Post out there doing our thing, people stealing our stuff one t-shirt at a time here.
Appropriation?
Thank you. Okay, Ogama, go ahead with the news that you don't hear anywhere else. Enough of me babbling.
Hey, yeah. I just wanted to start with condolences to the families of the shooting, the most recent shooting in Nashville, Tennessee. And, you know, just kind of to point it out that this is really getting old, that we have this happening again and again and again. It looks like there is the Covenant School in Nashville that just most recently had a shooting, and I believe the last thing that I seen on it is that three students, all aged 9, had died, and three teachers as well were injured or had died, and it's right. I just can't.
As a mother, sending your child to school and having another one. I mean, I'm a normal citizen now. I'm not a high school teacher anymore, and I'm wondering who's next and where and when.
Yeah, you know, I've seriously considered contemplating, or I've seriously contemplated and considered homeschooling my oldest, which is something that we would have the luxury of being able to do, and I know a lot of families don't. And that's been something that I've been speaking about with other parents in my community is if I'm able to be home with my oldest to do some sort of homeschool curriculum, could I have other kids here? If could other kids join her? So that's something that people in my community are talking about. And, you know, I kind of thought that I was maybe being a little unreasonable. And, you know, you start to think like, you know, not here, not my community, it could never happen here. Mm-hmm. And you start to kind of slip into that. And, you know, I mentioned it to my mom the other day. She's like, you know, why are you considering homeschooling your oldest? And I was like, well, honestly, you know, the school shootings have us nervous. And right. She just agreed with me. And I wasn't even really expecting that, you know, and it was really eye-opening to see that I'm not overreacting, to think that the safest thing is to not send my child to a public school or to a school at all.
Right.
And that's a scary place to be in as a family.
Well, you know, the lawmakers are not making laws. They're making laws, banning books, and really paranoid about our GLBT community. And, you know, one of the senators a couple days ago, I think, or representative from Tennessee, said that they asked him about it, and he said he's going to check into it. We don't want to overreact. Mm-hmm. And overreaction is long overdue, I think.
I think so, too. I mean, we don't want to overreact. You know, thoughts and prayers do nothing for dead children. Right. And I'm sorry to be so frank about it, but the time has come and gone for people to overreact. And
correct.
You know, the kind of things that happened after the murder of George Floyd and, you know, other people at the hands of police, you know, that is the level I would expect to be at as a parent. But I think that you know, we can't even trust the police. So what are we supposed to do as parents? What action do we take now? And I think the answer to this is really obvious. You know, we need better gun laws. We need better gun laws that protect people from getting guns. And we need more education about it as well. But I mean, there have been a total of 304 fatal school shootings since Columbine in 1998. And that's 380,000 children that have experienced gun violence at school. That does not even count children who may have experienced gun violence in places outside of school. I mean,
it's the 19th shooting this year, either a school or a college. Mm-hmm. 19th.
And it's March 29th. It's not even April yet.
Right.
Yeah. I think words are pointless at this point, and we need some action. And for those of you who are, you know, looking to take action, the first and best place I think everybody should go is immediately to their legislators. But there are other ways. So if anybody has any really great websites or organizations that they work with when it comes to this topic, please let us know. Put it in the comments, put it in the chat, and we'll try to share it out here before the end of the show. Yeah. I want to switch gears just a little bit here to remind everybody of another danger that's happening here in Minnesota, and that is copper and nickel mining. And Friends of the Boundary Waters, as well as other organizations, including the Tamarack Water Alliance, Honor the Earth, and Sierra Club, are all going to be at the Minnesota State Capitol for Prove It First Day at the Minnesota Capitol. That's going to be next Tuesday, April 4th, 2023. Prove It First is common sense legislation that says that before a copper sulfide mine in Minnesota could be permitted, that there needs to be independent scientific proof that a copper sulfide mine has operated elsewhere in the United States for at least 10 years without causing pollution, and that mine has been closed for at least 10 years without closing but without causing pollution. The types of mines that they want to open here in Minnesota have never been done in other places in the world, let alone in the United States, without pollution. And, you know, the statement is Minnesota's not a guinea pig for these companies to extract these things and figure out whether or not it's going to pollute. So the Prove It First law is actually modeled after a Wisconsin law that was in effect from 1998 until 2017, but it was actually repealed by former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker. But Wisconsin did not permit any copper sulfide mines from 1998 to 2017 because of that Prove It First law that they had there. So great organizations you can get involved with include the Tamarack Water Alliance, which you can find at tamarackwateralliance.org. HonorEarth.org is working on this as well. SierraClub.org is having an event, a virtual event, tomorrow, Thursday, March 30th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. You can find that online at SierraClub.org under the events tab. It is with the Sierra Club North Star chapter, and that's a virtual event. So get involved to protect Minnesota from the dangers of copper and nickel mining, and get involved to protect our children from gun violence, everybody.
Yeah, Pini Gigiogama, it's daunting. Every day we talk about the news, whether it's pipelines, dirty water. I mean, Philadelphia, people can't even drink their own water now. It's a mess. It's daunting. But up next, hey, we got author Kathy Coates, and we're going to talk some serious Ho-Chunk stuff and the removal of Ho-Chunks in Minnesota and her new book. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they are. Thanks, Ogama. Hey, we are here with author Kathy Coates. Really excited to have you on again, Kathy. And I think very soon your book will be dropped. Am I correct?
Yes, hopefully in the fall or the winter. Hopefully in the fall we're looking at.
That's awesome.
It's pretty much done writing. We're in the final parts of it. It's just going to go to print in the fall, we're hoping. So.
Very cool. Hey, I met you, and you've been on the show, when you did your thesis a few years ago, the extermination or removal of the Knights of the Forest and Ethnic cleansing in early Minnesota and about the Ho-Chunk. And that really got me excited and got me, with my other job as Ho-Chunk legislator, got me going to try and get Ho-Chunk recognized in this state. So I'm really happy that you're doing this work and have done this work. And tell us a little bit about your thesis and what got you going on this.
Sure. Well, my thesis focuses on what happened to the Ho-Chunk in Mankato and Blue Earth County, Minnesota in 1862 and 1863 after the U.S. Dakota War. I talk about the Ho-Chunk history a lot in my thesis, but the focus of it is this secret society that formed targeting the Ho-Chunk people in the first months right after the U.S. Dakota War. So for some of you that don't know, the U.S. Dakota War happened in 1862 in Mankato, Minnesota, and it was with Dakota and the U.S. And the Ho-Chunk people weren't really involved. There's some reports of little priests and other people being involved, but it was a war with the Dakota. And in the aftermath of that war, some men formed a secret society, and they had a ritual and a handshake, and all they wanted to do was to have the Ho-Chunk removed from Blue Earth County. Here's a quote from their ritual. "I sincerely hope this meeting may be profitable to each one of us, and that we may go forth from this lodge stronger and braver in the determination to banish forever from our beautiful state every Indian who now desecrates our soil." Wow. Even though they said that, they wrote newspaper articles. They were really targeting the Ho-Chunk. And in later years, they wrote articles about how they surrounded the reservation with rifles and they were ready to shoot anybody that left the reservation. They say they did shoot people. You know, it's possible that they did. And they pressured the government, basically. A lot of them were part of the government. They were in the state legislature, and they sent all kinds of petitions to the federal government. The petitions weren't even really necessary because there had already been an act for removal in December, and the Knights of the Forest didn't form until January. They just thought that the act wouldn't get approved, I guess. So they basically targeted the Ho-Chunk for these 3 months until they left Minnesota. And when the Ho-Chunk people left, there was no treaty signed or anything like that. They were forced to move. And some Winneshiek and his people were forcibly removed by soldiers from the reservation, which had happened at almost every place that the soldiers had to remove them. It was actually in Wisconsin, they sobbed and they really forced them at gunpoint onto trains and brought them to reservations. It was a really brutal removal, as far as, I mean, all of the removals were, but forcing them onto boxcars. And another thing that was a little bit unique about the Ho-Chunk removal from Mankato was the fact that they didn't have a treaty. They were really just forced by an act. They didn't seem to care what there was no negotiations or anything. They just said, "You have to leave." And because of that,
how accurate is the statement the Knights of Forest are the precursor of the Ku Klux Klan? How accurate is that statement?
I mean, they were around the same time. There's a possibility that there was some of the same people in the groups. I have a hard time tracking of who exactly was in the Knights of the Forest. I really only know four people for sure. And all the other people I can just guess, because the men at this time were really in this really complicated web of social groups. So it's kind of easy to track them, but also kind of not. They were in church groups together at times, and then they were in different secret societies, like the Masons, the Knights of Columbus, and then sometimes it had to do with whether they were Catholic or not, or, you know, things like that. But a lot of that was just really so they could keep function and keep their control over society at the time.
You, in your thesis, you did track down a few of them that were, that you named, that were prominent and have deep history in the state of Minnesota.
Yes. Well, and the four Knights of the Forest that I know for sure, the most prominent one that wrote about it the most was Charles Chapman. And he's a big name in Mankato. He's got a historical house there that's on the historical registry. He's regarded by some people as one of the town fathers of Mankato. And he was particularly vocal about his membership in years later. He wrote about it several times in many publications, in most detail in the newspaper. He's got a street named after him that some high school students are looking at possibly renaming. There's John Meager, who was involved in the hanging of the Dakota people after the war. Asa Barney and his brothers, they were involved all around town. John Portman, he was a legislator. All of them were legislators. All of them served in the state legislature. Henry Sibley and Henry Rice, they were involved in all of this. It's possible they were in the Knights of the Forest. It's not 100%. I haven't been able to connect anybody else for 100%, but I have a lot of
maybe
suspicions and a lot of ways to connect them to being around at the time of their meetings.
What got you interested? What got you interested in the, not so much the Ho-Chunk, because they ended up being part of it, but the Knights of the Forest? Was that what you first were interested when you were doing your thesis, or how did that come about?
Yeah, so I took a history class in one of my first years in college, and the professor had us read Winona LaDuke's book, Last Standing Woman, and she's got a chapter in there about the Knights. It's sort of a fictionalized version of the Knights, but there is a quote at the beginning of the chapter that's from the, it's an actual quote from the newspaper, and I chased down that quote, and I chased down the Knights, basically, I knew they were real, so I just wanted to find out more about them, and you know, it sounded very Ku Klux Klan-ish, and I think a lot of Minnesotans have this idea that during the Civil War and during that time, we were on the good side, and we didn't have things like the Ku Klux Klan, and that's not true. There were Ku Klux Klan up here. There's historical societies in northern Minnesota that have Klan robes, and wow, there were Knights of the Forest, which were basically the same thing, targeting Ho-Chunk people.
Yeah, amazing.
So I think part of that was wanted to tell that story and contribute to truth-telling in Minnesota history.
Yeah, that's exciting, and I was really excited to... somebody sent me your thesis a couple years ago, and I have an app where I can have the words play, and whenever I would walk, I would listen to it, and then we got you on the show, which was really exciting. We're going to take a break here soon, and we're going to talk about your upcoming book, and really excited. I love history. I love baseball, and I love history, and we have baseball starting tomorrow, and we're talking history right now, so I'm super stoked. Ogama, what do you think? Have you heard this history of the Ho-Chunks and the Knights of the Forest?
Yeah, so actually I've looked into and seen some parts of, and definitely the synopsis of your thesis, and I've heard some of this history alongside the same ethnic cleansing history that happened to the Dakota people here in Minnesota, and I think that those are very parallel, and I'm very glad that you're taking the time to do this work, because truth-telling is the first step in justice, and none of it can happen, none of the justice or reparations or anything can happen until we really start truthfully admitting that these things happened here and making sure that they don't happen again. So I'm excited to hear you talk about that and looking forward to your next book.
Wow. Hey, well said, Ogama. Hey, we're here with Ogama and author Kathy Coates, and we'll be back after this short break. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Woke. Ho-wa.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why...
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Ahead of tonight's vigil in Nashville, police are confirming the school shooter got weapons training before the attack. Metro Police Chief John Drake.
There were police cars being hit by gunfire. The suspect was in an upper level. We believe there's been some training of being able to shoot from a higher level.
They'd also purchased 7 firearms legally and hid them at home. Pope Francis has been hospitalized for a respiratory infection, and CBS's Seth Doan tells us it's not the first time.
As a younger man, he had very severe pneumonia and had one lung removed.
The Vatican says the pontiff's issues are not due to COVID. 7 California troopers now face manslaughter charges over the death of a man who died in their custody in 2020.
Well, it's a court order. It's a court order.
It's your choice.
Okay.
How serious is this?
This is serious.
They were holding him down to get a blood sample after a traffic stop. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. A man authorities believe firebombed the Madison lobbying offices of an anti-abortion group last year is now in custody. On May 6, 2022, someone tossed 2 Molotov cocktails into the Wisconsin Family Action Office. One didn't go off. The other set a bookcase on fire. Written on the outside of the building, quote, "If abortions aren't safe, then you aren't safe either," unquote. No one was there at the time of the attack, which happened about a week after a draft opinion was leaked, suggesting the Supreme Court would soon overturn Roe v. Wade. The court did just that in June, sending Wisconsin back to an abortion ban set in 1849. The 29-year-old male suspect was arrested Tuesday at Boston's Logan Airport. And it's the end for Badger basketball after losing last night in the NIT semifinals. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Do you love getting rewards when you shop? Then shop Knucklehead CBD and Vapes with the Knuckleheads Club. Every $10 spent gets you closer to 25% off. No matter what you buy, make sure you buy Knuckleheads. Stop in Saturday and Sunday and get 15% off Wellness and Wellness Plus, including Delta 8, THCP, CBD, and more, while getting points towards your next purchase.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue or online at knuckleheads.shop.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes, your one-stop smoke shop.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Lake and Highway 65, more at croonersmn.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Ogama. Hey, we are here with Kathy Coates, and I got to mention something, Kathy, before we start talking about your book. You won, or were acknowledged as one of the best theses of your year. It was an award here. I just had this up. What the heck? Sorry about that. What award was that, Kathy?
It was a Distinguished Thesis Award, and it was the year I got my master's degree for it. Yep. It's award, and it's, you win at the university level, and then you win. Not a lot of history people win because you're going up against science people and stuff, but
yeah.
So it's a big deal for me to win. And then you can compete nationally and regionally, which I don't think I made it very far there, but it got the attention of the Historical Society Press, and they reached out to me to try to develop it into a book. So that's what I've been working on ever since then. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, how did that come about and how exciting is that? And have you written any other books before?
No, this is going to be the first one. And I'm, you know, it's a lot of the reason I've been working on it, and for 10 years, if you go all the way back to when I first started in college working on it. So a lot of the research background is done. So doing it as a book has just meant, you know, developing it more, working more with Ho-Chunk people to get the history part down there, trying to track down, you know, doing traveling a little more to try and track down these guys and try to find people who were in this, what they were doing, just a lot more in-depth research, I guess, and work with, like that, to making it more, less of a student paper and more of a publication, I guess. So, but
cool. What was the hardest? Well, let me ask you this. Who have you worked with, in Ho-Chunk?
So I don't know if I should say their name publicly. They haven't quite given me permission, but
okay.
I had a few people in Omaha and in Nebraska that I made a trip to Little Priest College there, and that's basically where I did a lot of my Ho-Chunk research on oral traditions and stuff like that. And I've just started working with people from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I have some blind readers that are about to give me some criticism that are going to be from the Ho-Chunk people as well. And they're supposed to be getting it in May. So May is going to be sort of my sending it out to the scholars that I've been working with to be blind readers to give me their criticism back. So I don't know who they are. And then that will be the best criticism that I get. And then I will be sending it out to some of the other leaders of the in Wisconsin and in Omaha at the same time.
Right.
And you, of course. One of the representatives of Minnesota.
Right. But, awesome.
One of the Ho-Chunk historians that I've leaned the most on for, she's got the most publications, is Amy Lone Tree.
Right.
And so she's a scholar that has been, I've leaned on, I've quoted her a lot in the book, and I've leaned on her a lot for the research. So I think
that's awesome. She's a professor, right, in California, and she's a constituent of mine.
Oh, yes, yes. So, and yes. Yeah. So, and I'm trying, you know, I try to document, you know, Ho-Chunk people were here in Minnesota, you know, before Minnesota was Minnesota. And, you know, there's that the Ho-Chunk people have always been here. They're still here. You know, I try to make an argument that we are here, and I make some statements. I make quite a few statements in the book. We'll see if they make it through the edits.
Yeah.
About, but, you know, whether that you guys should be recognized in Minnesota, and, you know, and just all the tribes about land back and issues like that. And I think it'll come out in the end. Most people that I talk to are more interested in the secret society stuff than the mm-hmm. Ho-Chunk history part of it. Which is, it's interesting.
Yeah, it sure but, is.
Whatever we can do to get attention and, you know, truth telling, you know, like Ogama was saying, like that's the first step in justice work, is getting people to recognize the stories and the truth telling. And I'm really focused on what happened in Mankato and the colonist settlers that were there, what they did and how they work, and just how systems of power operated then. And but I do, there was a sense of needing to understand Ho-Chunk history the way Ho-Chunk people want it to be understood, I guess. And right. wanting to present it the way they want it presented.
Right.
The best that I can. So,
well, what's
I've been trying to develop that, and I'm still working on it, but that's been my main focus on the book, because I know as a student in the thesis, that was my biggest, that's where I needed the most work.
What's interesting in your thesis, and I'm sure you're going to get into this in the book, but people just took over the farmland right in the middle of the crops growing when the Ho-Chunk were removed and just moved right in.
Yeah, they just took, some of them had houses, they just moved right into their houses and, yeah, took over their crops. And it was, there was a few people who refused to leave the entire time. They had made claims on land. At the time, you can make claims on land, and so they didn't know that the reservation was going to be there when they made a claim on this land. So when the Ho-Chunk people first moved there, a lot of people had were forced to move off where the reservation was carved out, and those people threw up a huge protest and all kinds of petitions. They didn't like being removed from their claims. And there was a few people that never did. They lived there, thinking of his name, Basil Moreland lived there the entire time the Ho-Chunk people were there. He just lived, he lived on the reservation with them, and he fought it in court until the day he died.
Wow.
To try to get the government to pay him for that claim of land. Even the government did pay them all. It wasn't enough money for him or something. So, but they were paid. So,
what's interesting, yeah. Ogama, you're a writer, and Ogama, when we first had Ogama on the show, when you were on once a week, she wrote a weekly story, which I really miss. We should probably pull a couple of those out for the best of, but Ogama, do you have any questions? Because you're a writer too.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that I'm the same kind of writer that Kathy is. Kathy is a very well-researched and a highly knowledgeable writer, and really doing some really great work to bring awareness. My work's maybe a little more, I don't know, whimsical or personal, my personal feelings on things. But I guess that would be my question is, you know, how do you emotionally handle the knowledge of what you're writing about?
So sometimes history work can be really tough emotionally. So when I was in grad school, I took a class in the Holocaust, and that class, you know, a lot of history is tough, but the class in the Holocaust was really tough at times. Some of the stories and the details of it get really tough to take. And there, I remember one night, one of my classmates was crying in class, and just because we were discussing our readings. And so that part is tough. For me personally, the way I handle it is that I I suppose you could think this way about a lot of things, but it's not hard for me to write about it and read about it as it was for people to live it. So, so I try to keep that perspective. I mean, I'm with my computer in a nice warm office, and it was harder for them to live it than it is for me to read about it. So if I can take on some of that baggage and help in any way I can, that's what I want to do. It's part of justice work, and it's my passion in life is trying to do justice work. And so this is it right here is history for me. So I guess it's my justice work. Cool. I guess when it comes down to it, that's the way I look at it.
Well, but Kathy,
I know it's tough.
Kathy, I want you to come on just one more segment for just a little bit, and then tell people where they can purchase the book and talk a little bit more about it. Really appreciate you being on. And are you working on another book too at the same time? Or I know you're a full time parent.
This is all we're doing right now. Yep. But right. I will be probably the second this one comes out, I'll probably start something else. So.
Wow, that's exciting. Hey, we're here with Kathy Coates, and watch for her new book, To Banish Forever, A Secret Society, The Ho-Chunk and Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota. We're going to be right back after this short break. Please, everybody, stay with us. You're listening to Native Roots Radio. Judge Janet Protasiewicz is running to provide you with the justice you deserve.
For years, Judge Janet has supported the youth and underrepresented communities.
Judge Janet has strong values for public education and believes in setting our communities up for success.
Judge Janet believes that Native rights are sovereign rights.
Judge Janet understands the importance of issues such as missing and murdered Indigenous women, treaty rights, and hunting and gathering.
Unlike her opponent, Judge Janet not only talks the talk, but walks the walk.
Judge Janet knows the impact that our courts have on our communities, and she will bring integrity and fairness to the court.
Judge Janet Protasiewicz will fight for us. Let's fight for them.
Make a plan to vote by April 4th.
Find your polling place at vote.wisdoms.org. That's vote.wisdoms.org.
vote.wisdoms.org/EV.
Paid for by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin as an in-kind to Janet for Justice. No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. Learn more about how Democrats are standing up for working families and small businesses at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org. Paid for by Minnesota AFL-CIO.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh,
made me howl by myself today.
Okay. I was on mute. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you, McQuaid. Thank you.
My daughter always howls when we listen.
Very cool. Well, Ogma, do you mind amplify what we can do to support Kathy and when the book's coming out, and defining a little bit more?
Yeah, I was just hoping that maybe we could take a moment and define justice work for those who may not be familiar with that term. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about where we can get your book. And
do you want to give the definition?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
I was like, go for it. Or you want me to?
Oh, I was hoping you would, or define it how you would define it for yourself, because I think there's a lot of different definitions of it, but I'd like to hear yours.
My definition of it is, for myself, is really just helping everyone and basically doing what you can to fight the power systems that are out there, doing what I can to use my privilege to do that in my specific instance. I'm educated. I have a lot of privilege and a lot of places that I can do this work. And I have a book contract. And so everybody should do what they can and, you know, in any place they can. And if I'm so blessed to be in a spot where I can do work to do truth telling and make it public and actually use my gifts as a researcher to do that, that's what my life's work is and my passion is. So justice work can mean something to everybody, but for me, it personally means doing everything that I can within my own means, which is a lot. And so I will always do what I can to break down systems of power that are barriers to other people.
Wow. Well said. Well said. Awesome. Well, that's the book will come out in, when did you say, in the fall?
In the fall is what we're hoping. It's been pushed back a lot because of the pandemic, like everything else. But I think this is going to be the final one.
Well, and I noticed on Barnes and Noble, but Amazon, you can get the book or at least pay for it and wait for it. That's pretty awesome.
Pre-orders are options at Amazon and at Barnes and Noble, and a couple of other retailers too. So the book is called To Banish Forever, A Secret Society, The Ho-Chunk, and Ethnic Cleansing in Minnesota. So make sure if you're interested, you find some place where you can get a pre-order for that, or sign up for an alert so that you can get it when it comes out, and you know, keep up with that. Is there any place where people can read your thesis?
Sure. It's on St. Cloud State University, the repository there. I have a link for it right here. Actually, I can pop it in. It's if you Google extermination or removal in my name, it'll come up. It's from St. Cloud State University, where they publish all of their theses.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I will check that out, and I'm going to post it in our comments for people who are listening as well.
I got, I just Googled Kathy's name and put Ho-Chunk in there, and it popped right up. So, Kathy, any last thoughts before we let you go?
No, I just, really, I was really happy to be on, and I hope to be on again once the book actually comes out.
Well, you definitely will. And I want to say, Peeny Geegee, thank you so, so much for, one, doing this, because you have the capacity and the interest, and also really, Peeny Geegee, for being on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Yes, anytime.
All right, cool. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon. Talk to you soon. Wow, Ogama, I love history. And so that was really fun for me to listen and to read her her thesis, and excited that there's truth tellers out there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's, it's almost, there's so many truth tellers that are out there that are Native people, and it's really refreshing to see ally people like Kathy stepping up to that plate to do that truth telling, because I think that, you know, it's a burden for a lot of Native people to have to be the ones to always carry the knowledge of those stories and to be the ones who are advocating for that knowledge to be carried, for the weight of that knowledge to be carried. But, you know, I think we run the risk too, as Native people, it's coming off as angry when we bring up these things. And don't get me wrong, I am mad about, mm-hmm. you know, these things not being included in history and in curriculum and, you know, just the general scope of knowledge for people. But it's not from a place of spite that I think that we need to know these things. It's just that people need to know. Nobody really blames, you know, people. Well, I mean, they blame the Nazis, but nobody sits down and blames themselves per se when it comes to talking about the Holocaust in Europe, the Jewish Holocaust. Like that's the same kind of mentality that we need to have when we're talking about this ethnic cleansing and those things that happened here in Minnesota and in the larger United States. We need to just have that idea that we need to make sure that this never happens again, and that's why we have to know about it.
Yeah, exactly. And a really good point. And I think it's we are such a small percentage of the population here now in the United States and in the Americas, and we need all our white allies to step it up. And so it was refreshing to see this. Very interesting. And I think they changed the title. She was telling me this, and probably to have, you know, the secret society banished forever and talk about. And she said a lot of people are really going to be interested in the Knights of the Forest. But along with being interested in that, Ho-Chunk's history and the removal is intertwined with that story. So however we can get the story out there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And secret societies are kind of one of those fun hobbies that I think people like to know about. And right. I think finding out about those things is what helps them to find out about the truth about the Ho-Chunk history. That's really good, too. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that something similar happened to the Dakota people here in Minnesota, and right. The Dakota people are still exiled from the state of Minnesota. And if that's something that you're interested in too, there's a really great book. It's called What Does Justice Look Like? The Struggle mm-hmm. for Liberation in Dakota Homelands. It's by Wajatawi, PhD. So that is a wonderful, wonderful book. I believe I have a copy signed by her, and I was just using it in some of my college coursework just this week. And, you know, it was really good to hear Kathy too talking about these two different things, because my thought was I hadn't heard of very much that was written about the Ho-Chunk mm-hmm. ethnic cleansing that happened here as well.
Well, I've always said too, and you fit in this demographic, that people that are 40 and older really know how embedded Ho-Chunk are in the state of Minnesota before they were states, as Kathy mentioned, and also that we've been here for 10,000 years. So, and also, Ogama, as you probably know, we were one of the original treaty signers in 1855 here in Minnesota. So this is our land too, and we share it with everybody, and we just want to be recognized that we are still here, and we haven't all been removed. You know, I know there's at least 600 Ho-Chunk living in this state, and also the Winnebago, Nebraska, which is Ho-Chunk too, people that live here in Minnesota for many different reasons. But it's exciting to talk about, and stay tuned, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's really important and exciting to talk about. So we're really grateful to those people who are coming on to talk about this and who are doing that work.
Right on. Hey, Ogama Pinigigi, for all your work and on the news, and then helping support Native Roots Radio, as you always do, and Kathy Coates, Pinigigi, for being on. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenticoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier now.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.